All right, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to GSR Gonzo Sports Room. February 8th, 2023. It's a Wednesday night. We're right in the smack middle of Super Bowl week, and there's a lot of news coming out of the NFL today as well. I'm Chris Gonzo Gonzalez, joined by Jay McLovin. How's it going, Jay? Oh, man. Still have the poor Jay up there.
Well, I just applied for a $20,000 loan. I wonder if I'll get it. Don't worry, it's got good interest rates, though, so we'll see. Hey, no, seriously, though, how's it doing, man? It's going good, man. I find it weird. I don't know if you saw this, man.
Hey, Jay, why'd you get that loan for?
Well, I got a business that I want to start posting on, so we'll see if it comes to fruition.
Hey, what's up, Glenn? Hey, I'll tell you what.
You can't even say that with a straight face. Just hold on. All right, let me get this out real quick while I can, and we'll come back to that. But because I might get kicked out of ASAP. I don't know. But listen, hold on. Hey, listen. I find it interesting, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I saw this on ESPN. I read the article on it. He's going to buy the Cowboys, not for 20 grand. But no, listen. The Saudis supposedly are going to be endorsing or supporting the World Cup, the women's World Cup. And this is a country that does not support women at all when you go there, at all. Like, they're like down at the bottom on the totem pole of priorities. So I find it interesting that they're talking about supporting the women's World Cup. I just think that blows my mind. I was like, okay, I mean, I don't get why that fits in their thing. But anyway, I don't know if you saw that, but it struck me.
I saw that because it actually led to a question. Led to a question I'm going to ask you. But yeah.
Okay. Well, wait. I saw that. I didn't know if you had saw that. It blew my mind. What a time to be alive. He said, the hell that wasn't on my 2002 bingo sports card. Glenn, good evening, brother. Good evening,
Glenn. Glenn has a big couple weeks coming up. He's going to be at WWE NXT in Florida next week, Tuesday. Then he's going to be at Daytona 500 and stuff.
So. Now, Glenn, do you know this wrestler called Dutch Boy? Saw him today.
I think he knows Dutch Boy.
He sees
Dutch Boy every month at Warrior Pro.
Yeah, Glenn, if you see Dutch Boy, you tell him Jay McLovin's looking for him, and I want to take him in the ring. I think I'll do a pretty good job against him.
Hey, how's it going, Dustin? Sorry we kept you waiting. Me and Jay were having a pre-show conversation that kind of went a little longer than what we thought.
It was a $20,000 conversation.
Well, before we get to the NFL news, we'll go ahead and get this out of the way. LeBron James breaks the scoring NBA scoring record last night. Then goes on to say that he's the greatest basketball player ever.
You know what they say, Gonzo? If you got to say you're the greatest basketball player ever, you're probably not the greatest basketball player ever. I'm just saying. If you got to say it.
Yeah, I know Dutch Boy has stashed his bronze, Lou.
He got a light stash.
But and then not only that, you had Westbrook and Ham in the screaming match on the sidelines, which Westbrook is no longer there. But then, did you see Anthony Davis? Everybody in that building stood up going crazy when LeBron hit that last bucket.
Yep.
He stood over there like he was pissed.
Well, you know why? Because he's not in the limelight. Honestly, he's not in the limelight. And to be honest with you, I don't think Kareem was all that happy about it. Truthfully. I mean, Kareem, you know, he had a smile. Don't get me wrong. But he didn't look like he was, you know, all that excited about the record being broke.
Mike, you says rest to the Bulls. I saw Mike's wanting rest over with the Bulls.
Mike, I don't understand why you want that headache, but if you want that headache, I'm sure Russell Westbrook would be more than happy to help you. I just don't know why you would want that headache. I don't know why you'd want them to come up. But I do know that you are a Russell. He is a Russell Westbrook person. I mean, him and I think Jim Cross, I think also is, if I'm not mistaken, is also a Russell Westbrook supporter. Because I love the toxicness. Oh, he'll give you lots of that. Hey, he'll, that and a helping dose of Kyrie. Man, Kyrie's toxicness. But I will say this. Kyrie looking pretty good tonight. I'm going to give him props. Man, he out there, I think he's got 13 points at the half, 5 of 11 shooting, I believe. And he's not doing that bad. He got one as, what was it, a rebound and a – so he's all right. I mean, he's playing within the system, so he looked all right.
Yeah, but he just got there. How long is he going to focus on basketball before he decides – there's something else,
man. Hey, look, that's anybody's guess, right? That's anybody's guess. Yeah, exactly. Man, Kareem, I'm telling you, Kareem did not look happy. I think he was doing the things he's supposed to do because, you know, it's a class. It's you got to show class, right? It's got to be branded. But
I heard some other guys on Sports Talk today say that they were trying to bash Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan went in there last night. Why in the hell did Michael Jordan need to be there last night? If he would have, because get this, if he would have been there, then they ought to have been on him. Oh, he's just trying to make this about himself. He can't let somebody else have their moment. But then he's not there, and then they bitch about that.
You think Michael Jordan don't have things to do? They might have things to do. I'm just saying, like, you know, Kareem had to be there.
He must have had it. They said, where was Jordan at? He must have had a round of golf to play.
Hey, he may have had a round of golf to play. When you're the GOAT, that's what you do. You play golf and you collect checks. But that's what GOATs do.
If he would have went to that, then they would have tried to say he was trying to steal LeBron's spotlight. So either way, people were going to bash him.
Yeah, man, look. You know, I've been having this conversation. I've seen this conversation all day, been playing out on Facebook. People are bringing Jordan's name into this and the other. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this only one time. If you got to say you're the GOAT, you're not the GOAT. If people on Facebook are saying that MJ is not the GOAT, that means MJ is in their head. And they're trying to explain why they think that LeBron is the GOAT. Come on, man. If you got to explain why somebody's the GOAT, you're not the GOAT. I don't care what you say. Tom Brady. You think everybody's trying to explain Tom Brady? Tom Brady's Tom Brady. We all know Tom Brady's a GOAT. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Mike Hughes, you are the GOAT, man. I said, hey, when it comes to podcasting, I swear to God, you're the GOAT, man. One of these days, Mike Hughes. One of these days, I'll be like you.
The way I look at it is, if somebody says they think LeBron James is the GOAT, I'm not going to argue with them. But because of the different eras, but in my eyes, my set of eyes that I have, the best player I've seen play is Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and I've seen them both play. I've seen them all play. I've seen Kareem play, Magic play, Jordan. I mean, I've seen all the greats, man, all the way back to the 70s. I mean, come on, Malik Beasley, Scotty. Golly, Mike! What the hell?
It's a small world, isn't it?
Hey, when Mike comes on this show, he come out just guns a blazing. He just comes out guns a blazing, Gonzo.
It's a small world. I would say Scottie Pippen never thought he was going to be playing with maybe his stepdad.
Oh my God, bro! I mean, seriously though, man. I mean, it's crazy, man. I mean, I'm happy for LeBron, man. Hey, it's great. He obviously had a milestone. And let's be honest, man. I don't care. Yes, a lot of people say the NBA is soft. It's easier to score points. Jay,
that's the bad thing about it, though. It is true. That really did happen.
No Michael shit.
Said, yeah, about Malik Beasley. He really did fuck Scottie Pippen Jr.'s mom.
Oh, wow.
And now they're on the same team.
Hey.
They go throw hands.
Hey, do you think he said, hey, I put my tongue where you came out?
Oh shit. Mike said besties.
Wow. I'm just saying, hey, you can you say awkward?
The one argument I heard out today, about
you think they got a carpool.
The one argument I heard today about who was the GOAT that bothered me the most,
yeah, is
that they got on son of a bitch, Glenn.
He said they threw hands to CPS. Get involved. Oh my god.
But was that I heard people get on TV and on the radio and say that LeBron James is the GOAT because he's a better person than Michael Jordan because he donated the money for the school and he donated this, he done that. Last time I checked, what you do off the court has no bearing on whether you're the best basketball player or not.
Look, they actually have awards that they give out for people that do great philanthropy. They have actual awards for that. So if you want to give a better award, that's great. But don't tell me he's better than this or that.
And I'm not bashing LeBron James because LeBron James has done a lot of good for a lot of people. He's done a lot of good stuff off the court. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying that's not an argument that you use in a GOAT conversation, though.
He said, keep that same energy with Kyrie. Look, I'm just saying, man, hey, it doesn't come – it's not a philanthropy, you know. I mean, they got a whole award for that. People get so much crap involved in one thing. Look, if you're a great businessman, if you're a great philanthropist, great. But that does not mean that you should get – or the award should have anything to do with that. You got to separate that shit. Just like the new church and state, you got to separate philanthropy and the NBA. Come on. Come on. We got to do better than that. He said Kyrie the GOAT. Okay, Mike Hughes. I will say though, he's playing pretty good tonight, man. He's playing pretty good. But yeah, man. To make 38,000 points, I mean, that's amazing. Considering he was doing load management, that's amazing. But it doesn't make you think. And think about this too, man. You know, and the thing, and that's the knock on Jordan doing what, 12 years, something like that, 12, 13 years in the NBA, and Bron doing 20. Plus years in the NBA. I mean, and then out of that 13, how many – he took 3 years off in between. I mean, a lot of his prime was playing baseball. I mean, that's so much – that's so skewed. That number is so skewed, man, you know, when it comes to that. And we'll talk more about that some other day. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, come on.
The offer is on the table, Jay.
The offer is on the table, Jay. What does that mean? I'm confused. Explain yourself, Dustin. What does that mean? I see Freddie Henderson has joined the live. Hey, boss, how's the bank statements going? Oh. Oh, snap. Ouch.
Okay.
Ouch. I'm staying away from that one. Mike Hughes, hey, I'm staying away from that, but I hear you, brother, but I'm staying... Mike, you were just coming out, man, with throwing the punches. Jeez Louise, man. Freddie, don't take that. Or maybe you take that.
I don't know. I mean, how's he not going to? I mean, how's he not going to take it?
I don't know. Hey,
I mean,
he said, I just sent my dues.
He said, look at his last comment.
Oh, look at his last comment. Okay. He said, I didn't even pay attention to what he said. I missed that one, I guess.
Well, I missed that one. Got my season tickets today. Houston at Chicago in June. Who's down?
Man, you would see, that's the problem. That's when I'm moving to Houston. I can't be moving one spot and then try to go over to the other spot. God, I wish it wasn't June. If it was July or August, you know what? I'd probably pull that out.
I might be able to do. I just gotta see what my fundage situation turns into once I get this stuff going on. But I might be interested in that.
Let me tell you something. Let me save you a whole bunch of money, man. Just go to the media credential day. Get your media credentials out the way and then leave and go get you a beer because Astros are going to win that game. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to set it in stone. Astros are going to win that game. So don't even bother unless you just want to see a badass team. But the Cubs have improved. They got Dansby Swanson and a few other guys. So, hey, I might be talking. I'm an a-hole.
Oh my, I can't believe
they might actually win. I don't know. What do you think, Gonzo? You do the easy money, man. What? Hey, how you betting that game?
Fuck, dude, I don't know. That's a long time away. I don't know what their roster is going to look like.
Hey. You have an idea of what their roster is.
I'm gonna say the Cubs are going to win by four.
I can't get that ugly taste out of my mouth.
Jay,
it won't leak.
Frankie said, "Jay, it's not worth it to see your boys shit on them, especially in Chicago."
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's gonna be a rough day. He said, "I'll be there. I'm working there again." So, well, at least you're making money watching baseball, man. I can't imagine there being a better job than that.
There you go, Jay. You got what you wanted.
Yeah, damn right. Houston is on the money. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, Gonzo, look, come on, man. I'm not saying you're Nostradamus, but, I mean, it would take a hell of a lot for Chicago to beat Houston. I mean, maybe the half the roster goes out and gets drunk and then comes in and tries to play the next day. We can't all be Babe Ruth and do that. So maybe they get an easy one. It's me, Margaret.
I love Mike Hughes because he don't give, you know why I love him, he don't give a fuck.
He said, "I'm already planning to buy tickets to the Yankees Astros game in New York." Frankie, hey God, when is that game? Because I will try to make that one for sure. I need to get up there to New York and go see the Astros.
I'm not a fan of the Astros or the Cubs, but if it's something I could work out, I'd definitely go to the game. I just like going to watch baseball.
That's right. You're a fan.
No, I'm not a fan of the Astros.
Yes, you are. It's not true. I've got receipts. As I'm taking Houston with the over.
I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, brother.
What a time to be alive, man. No, hey, I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. But I will say this. Bing bang. Bing bong.
All right.
I do got to find out when that game is because I do want to kind of go to that Astros. I think the Astros, New York, man. Come on. Who doesn't want to see Houston and New York go back at it, man? I mean, I got to go get my broom, though, because I wore the last one out sweeping Frankie. But, you know, I'll get a new broom. It'll be all good. I'll get one of those plastic tip ones. Be all right.
All right.
It tastes so good to just say that because Frankie can't say nothing back because we're the champions. And when you're the champions, you're the champion. Man, let's get on because Mikey's gonna kill us tonight, man. He's gonna kill us tonight.
It's big. Hey, this show started off hot.
Hey, but no, seriously though. Hey, for real, on us. And by the way, if you're gonna put the P word in, no, fuck that shit. If you're gonna put pussy, put a dash and cat after it. That way FCC can't say nothing. See, I said pussy dash cat. I can say that all day. Nobody's gonna FCC? Care.
What's FCC gonna say? We're not on the radio. We're on YouTube. We're on YouTube, Facebook. We say basically what the hell we want. Hey, long as you don't say a couple of things.
Man, I better not say that because I probably will have them at my door. Have an amazing night, Freddie Henderson. Be safe out there. Get one of the 31. Oh man, you know, damn. Oh, the comments are good tonight.
I don't think he's even in here anymore. I bet you he left.
He lasted about 5 seconds till Mike Hughes said account, and then he was running because he thought the tax collector was after him because he didn't pay the taxes on the withdrawal. August 3rd. Damn. Okay. Bet. I'll talk to Mel, make sure I got the money for that. But if I do, well, we might be pulling that out. Polly went to steal my money.
This
will be a nice four-game series.
What's funny about that to me is all that stuff happened and he left and tried to start his own, but he's still on our shows seeing what we're doing. So we're still in his head rent-free.
Hey, listen, we might actually be making money in his head. He said, "Damn, my wallet just disappeared."
But no, Jay, what was your thoughts on the broad breaking the scoring record?
Hey, look, man. I thought it was cool, man. I mean, look, if you're gonna be in the league for 20 plus, yeah, you should definitely get that scoring title. I mean, seriously, you should. At 20 years, you know, but it is. I gotta say, it's a hard feat to do because number one, your body has to last 20 years. It's hard to last 20 years. I mean, it is a little bit, I think, easier in the NBA now because there's not as much banging, right? So you probably can last a little bit longer. Just like quarterbacks last as long as they do because they're not banging it up. They got all these rules to protect them and things like that. So, you know, unless you're Tua, and then if you're Tua, you just get what you get. So I'll be back. I got to go find it. Damn. Oh, he took that guy who talks shit about LeBron, and he has LeBron as his profile pic, talking about John. Oh yeah, man. Listen,
hey, that's all right, Frankie. He can have him.
Hey, listen, I already cost him $20,000 to change his profile pic, so I don't know.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. That I was laughing about that because he was all over about how LeBron was trash, and then as soon as LeBron broke it, he was supporting him that he broke the record. I'm like, you can't be on both sides of the damn fence.
Yeah, well, you can, but it's gonna hurt your nuts.
That's true.
I mean, you can. I mean, it's true, but I'm telling you, it's gonna, unless you don't have nuts. I don't know what that means.
You know, I think it's a great accomplishment. In my opinion, it still don't make him the GOAT, but I mean, it's a great accomplishment. I mean, look how long Jabbar's had that record. That shows you how hard it is to play that long.
Right, because it's not just playing 20 years. Because let's be honest, Udonis Haslam's been playing damn near that long, but he rides the bench. So, number one, you have to play that long. And number two, you have to put points on the board to get that long. So, you know, I mean, it's a good feat. I'm not going to take that away from him. It's a good feat, man. Congratulations, LeBron. Seriously, congratulations. You are the scoring leader, but you're not the GOAT. You're just not. You're not. And I mean, hey, you'll be number two. You're in the top five. You're number two. The question for me is not who's one and number two. The question really for me now is who is three and who is four? Because you got to still admit, Jabbar was the former scoring leader, right? And then now, where do you put Kobe? Because we all know Mamba mentality, right? And by the way, if you're saying Jay, he's a scoring leader. How can he not be the GOAT? Well, okay, let's think about that for a minute. Let's dissect that for a minute if we can. We put LeBron, we put Jordan, Dan almost put Kobe before we put Kareem in there, and Kareem was a scoring leader. Y'all had LeBron James over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in your rankings, but yet Kareem was the scoring leader. So by that natural notion, okay, that makes sense. But come on, man. Come on. If it's still LeBron, I mean, it's still Michael Jordan, then it's LeBron. My question is, I just don't know, do you put Kobe at three or do you put Kareem at three?
Ooh.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not going to fault you for that because, look, we all know how good Kobe was. We know he's the Mamba. I mean, damn.
Oh, man, I'd probably put Kobe at three.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not going to fault you for that. I mean, I think you're one through four. That's how it would be. But then who do you put at five? I got Magic at five. I don't know who you guys got at five, but I put Magic at five. And that's a hard thing for me to say because I still feel like Larry Bird is underrated. I don't think Bird gets the credit he deserves. So for me, it's almost a tie.
I think Bird's underrated too. I think a lot of people think Larry Bird was just a 3-point shooter, and that's so far from the truth. That dude could play.
I'd
have Bird up there and try that man. Dustin says Wilt at three, Kobe four, Bill Russell five.
I mean, you know, I get it. He's got 11 rings, but I don't know. I think individually, I still think those guys are better. I think Bill just happened to be on some really good teams when he got those 11.
That's probably true, Frankie.
Oh, damn. brown son. No, he was not white. He was peach. Peach. Damn it. Peach. But no, I think, you know, if you want to do that, I would probably put 1A, 1B with Magic and Bird. I mean, I think it's almost going to be kind of hard to try to dissect, who, you know, which one should be there, because we all know how good Magic was, you know, at the point guard spot. So it's a hard one to pick. That's a hard one to pick. He was Indiana Peach laughing my ass off. He said he's as white as Jay's. No, I can't say that aloud.
But kind of switching gears here a little bit. Today, Roger Goodell had his big press conference at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He said that officiating in the NFL has never been better. What in the fuck is he smoking?
Yeah, I don't know what he's smoking either. Honestly, I really don't know what he's smoking.
He must have some good fucking shit.
Yeah, it hasn't been fair. Hell, it hasn't been fair since I've been alive. Honestly, there's always been issues with officiating in the NFL. I mean, and it's the same thing with basketball and baseball. You know, you could chalk it up to human error. You could chalk it up to human beings being human beings, but it's never been fair. I don't think you can get a truly fair called game unless you got a damn robot out there calling that shit. Truthfully.
And I don't even know if that'd be true. It'd be completely fair then, because you have a human that's
programming it.
Programming that robot.
That's hey, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, you're right. Even with that, there could be flaws, right? Or you know, they can call a foul when they meant to say something else. Maybe there's a glitch in the program. So, I mean, everything to a certain point can be fallible. But to say that it's fair, I don't think.
No, he didn't say it was fair. He said that.
Good.
Yeah, the officiating has never been better. How can you watch that AFC championship game?
Yeah.
And say that the officiating has never been better?
Oh, I agree. There is no one that stands out. That's a good point. If you wanna float that around and see if people will bite on it, hey, I might bite on that and say, yeah, you're probably right. It is bad, and there ain't nobody better.
Because I mean, they were. I think the NFL needs to go to full time referees, because a lot of these referees work other, you know what I mean, they work other jobs and stuff. Go to full time and train. I don't know. Try to train these guys fucking better or something. Right.
And it's not like these dudes are getting paid peanuts. These dudes are getting, correct me if I'm wrong, Gonzo, but aren't they getting close to six-figure salaries?
I'd have to look it up, but I would say so.
And what, I'm pretty sure
here's the craziest. Here's what's crazy to me about it, Jay. It's not just like it's the officials on the field. You have officials in New York and on or up in the stand, up in the booth and all this, and you still can't get it right. They need to change the replay. Thing. I still think they need to go to how XFL did the replay, where you could hear the referee on the field talking to the referee in the replay booth. You could actually hear their conversation. Even if they came out with the wrong call, at least you knew how they got to that call.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you watched much of the XFL before it got shut down for COVID, but on their replays, dude, they had a referee up in the booth with an Xbox controller. And he would go through the play, and he'd be talking to the referee on the field, and you could actually hear the conversation. I thought it was awesome.
Actually, hey, but he's actually wrong on that. They are full-time refs. They did change it in 17, but it's not 150K. According to this one, at least not according to this. I went to NBCConnecticut.com. Correction. And they had the NFL referees on average usually make about $205 per year. And that was put out January 19th of 2023. So that's pretty recent. Either way, like I said, whether they make $150 or they make $205, they're making six damn figures. I mean, they're making good money. What the hell do you need a damn second job for? You know what I'm saying? When you're making that kind of money. And they don't even work the full year.
Yeah, they got to figure something out because it's not, it hasn't been good.
Well, think about that too, Gonzo, right? They work literally, what, one day, maybe 2 days a week? Depending on if they work, you know, no, one day. Well, depending on if they work a Thursday or the Monday. But they're only working 1 or 2 days a week, and they're getting that kind of – and they only do that for, what, 18 weeks unless you get picked for the playoffs? But, I mean, even then it's not – I mean, these guys, you know, you could probably put their whole damn time they work, you could condense it all down into – and probably only work – they'll probably only work about a month. They work a month and get paid $150,000 if you put all that time together. That's nuts. That's crazy money.
And then also you had the head of the NFLPA, Smith. He wants to get rid of the combine and establish regional pro days, potentially put on by the NFL Players Association. He don't like the combine. They want to, he said that don't make no sense. We're taking these kids out of the last semester of their of college to come up to the combine. Well, most of these kids are in college because of football. A lot of them, the ones that are going to the NFL, a lot of them, that's, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, to me, is what's the big difference between the having the combine like they have it and then and having regional, basically regional pro days, which is basically just like a regional combine. What's the big difference?
Yeah, and also if you think about it, if you logically think about it, if they say they're worried about taking by their last semester of college, well, the only thing that would make a difference to is if you're a senior. But if you're coming out, you know, in 3 years,
all these guys are coming out early
or 2 years, whatever. Yeah, I mean, what's that one semester going to mean to them? If anything, they could just make that semester up during the summer.
He says that the combine is intrusive, and that he basically said that these players, it's intrusive because of how many doctors that and stuff look at these players at the combine, and you spend so much time in that. And that they shouldn't have to give it. Well, if I'm potentially going to give you millions of dollars on a contract, I want to make sure you're healthy. You shouldn't be able to hide an injury or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If you think about it, the doctor part of the combine, in my opinion, is probably the most important part of the combine. Because I want to know, hey, if he's had injuries in college, are they fully healed? Maybe he does run a 4.3, but maybe he runs a 4.3 and his ligaments are shot. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, hell, even if you go from club to club in a trade, the first thing they do is have you do a physical before they even give you the money. So why would I not want a physical before they come in the league? It makes no sense. And then, too, let me ask you this. He says he wants, on the other side of that equation, he says he wants to replace it with pro days. Well, how many of these athletes do you think go to pro days? I mean, seriously, most of them don't even go. Most of them say that they won't even do a pro day. I don't know, you know. I think the only ones that really are considered at pro day would be, you know, your top tier. And that's because they're trying to decide, you know, between maybe, you know, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. So they would want to do a pro day, you know, to see how well, you know, they perform. I mean, I don't know what else you would do a pro day for.
I don't either. Hold on. Well, I mean, he wants to replace it. And I guess they would schedule like regional pro days for these players to come to. But, yeah, like you said, a lot of these players don't even want to throw. Or run and stuff at the pro day or even at the combine sometimes.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the only reason I think you would do a combine is if you're projected to go, let's say, in the fifth round and you're trying to get to the third round and maybe you want to go do the combine or maybe you'd want to go do the pro day just to show them, hey, look, I know you got me slated at fifth, but here's what I can do. And maybe that bumps them up. You know, like the only reason you're doing a combine or a pro day is to prove, you know, something to somebody. But if you don't have anything to prove, like, you know, if you're projected to go in the first round, why are you going to jeopardize doing a pro day or anything else that could maybe make you go down or whatever? So why would you take that risk? The only ones that are taking the risk are the ones that are in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds trying to move up in the draft.
Well, his response came after he was asked about NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent comparing the combine to a slave auction during league meetings in December.
Man, come on. Come on, dude. That's bullshit. You can't put everything on slave auction and slave this, that, and the other. Come on, man.
He says, think about it. The NCAA and the NFL structure a combine during what should be every football player's what last semester in college, Smith said. Who decided that was a good idea to take your son and have him exclusively try out for the NFL's exclusive way of getting into the league for the most part? Unless you're a free agent player, you have to be invited to the combine. As soon as you show up, you have to waive all of your medical rights. And you not only have to sit there and endure embarrassing questions, and I think that's horrible, and I don't want to poo-poo any of that, but would you want your son to spend hours inside of an MRI machine and then be evaluated by 32 separate team doctors who are, by the way, are only doing it for one reason? What's the reason? To decrease your draft value.
Well, if you have injuries, that does kind of decrease your draft value. But how do they know unless they check? And last time I checked, Gonzo, you tell me if I'm wrong.
And then get this. He says, yeah. It says Smith was staunch in his support of prospects not needing to surrender their medical rights as part of the combine process. It's got to start with, he says it's got to start with players and their agents understanding that the combine today has nothing to do with how fast you run, how high you jump, and how much you can lift. Smith said the NFL doesn't need a combine to evaluate physical traits of a prospect. We've been tracking these players since grade school. I understand that, but.
Hey, Gonzo, let me ask you this. If he feels that way about the NFL, then he would probably be horrified if he knew the process to get into the military and what they do to you to get into the process to get in the military and how long that process takes.
He said, why do we insist on them showing up in Indianapolis? It's not for anything physical. It's for teams to be able to engage in intrusive employment actions that don't exist anywhere else.
Bullshit. They do exist. I just told you the military does it. So what the fuck is he talking about? Come on, man. You got to do better than that. And let me tell you this. Ain't nobody forcing you to go to the combine. Ain't nobody forcing you to go do a pro day. They're just saying that if you want to play in this league or if you want to be, you know, if you want your draft status to get improved, you know, then you might want to go do it. You don't have to do anything. You can just sit back.
I just think people forget.
And then wait, you know, enter the draft and then wait to see where you get picked.
Well, I think people forget. It's a business. And if I'm investing $30, $40, $100 million in a player, I want to know as much as I can about that player.
Right. And then let me ask you this. What if one dude goes to the combine, one dude doesn't go to the combine, but the team that's drafted at that point is stuck on which one of those two to go between? You may go with the one that went to the combine and went, the one that did all the doctor tests, the one that did all the questions before you give the other guy because you know more about this guy than you do the other person.
I mean, it's no – hey, Jay. If you're going to go buy a car, aren't you going to do as much research on that car as you can before you buy it?
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, especially if it's a used car, you want to know how many owners it's had. Has it been serviced regularly like it's supposed to be? You know what I mean? You're not just that's a nice car. Here's $15,000. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, if I'm projected, if I know all the mock drafts and all this, that, and the other are telling me that I'm, you know, projected going to top five, I probably wouldn't do a combine. I'd probably just, you know, wait to see where I'm drafted at because I wouldn't want my draft stock to go down or whatever, you know. So maybe I could skip it. But
even then players, a lot of those players still go to the combine. They just won't throw.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying if there ever was a reason not to go to a combine. You know what I mean? It's because maybe you feel like you wouldn't do as good and you feel like it might hurt your draft stock.
Well, but like I said, a lot of them people still go to the combine and do the interview. Yeah. They do the interviews and the medical stuff. Yeah. They don't throw or they don't run.
And that's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying,
get this though. They act like the combine's so negative, but how many guys have went to the combine, have put on a good showing at the combine and have improved their draft stock.
Right.
It made themselves more money.
Yeah. And I hate to say this, but it is what it is, man. Look, when you work for anything, you're a product of wherever it is you work at. I'm sorry. If you're in the NFL, you're a product because you're a team. You're part of the team. That means, you know, you're actually contributing towards part of the team. I hate to tell you, but you're a product. You're part of the team. If you sign a contract, you're signing on a free will. You're signing that contract to be part of the team, and that's why they look at you as like a product. And that's what it is. You're a product. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Don't go play football. Don't go work anywhere. Because think about it. If you go get a job anywhere, and you say, well, you know what, I'm not gonna. Okay, for example, if I'm gonna go work for the police department. And the police department says, hey, you got to go this physical, and then you got to do a lie detector test. Oh, and if that's evasive, you should see what the police department's lie detector is like. Oh, it's even 10 times more evasive. But if you don't go do it, you know, then you're not going to get the job. And it's just that simple.
And like Dustin says, you can only evaluate so much on film. Getting to be there live and evaluating, it's different. I mean,
right. And people got to stop using the slave narrative on everything. I understand, but you can't use the slave narrative on everything. I'm sorry. That's just going a little too far. Too far. They are evaluating you to see if they want to give you a contract or if they want to bring you into their team because it is a lot of money. And they only have so many spots to fill. And they only get so many selections. So, yeah, they're going to probe, prod, do whatever because they want to know what they're investing their money into. I'm sorry. You are an investment. All those players, they're investments.
Yeah. And to me.
That's why I say product. When I say product, I mean investments, right? You're an investment.
Yeah. To me, you have an opportunity. If I had an opportunity, if I say I was a guy that was going to be able to make the NFL and I had an opportunity to go to the combine. Spending a day doing medical tests is well worth making $20 million a year. $2 million a year or $1 million a year. You know what I mean? But yeah. Hey, I spend the whole day at the damn hospital or doctor's office now getting tests run on me, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And I don't have $1 million waiting on the $1 million contract waiting on the other side.
Right. I think people just get. They get over carried away with what they're talking about, man. And then you can't. Again, if you're making an investment, you're going to test drive the investment.
And then another crazy thing that came out of the NFL today: Michael Irvin has been pulled from the NFL Network for their Super Bowl coverage.
Yeah.
Have you read into the story?
The part of the story I read was it happened in the hotel lobby.
The story don't make a whole lot of sense, Jay.
Nobody was talking about the story. Nobody was. The media had no details. Nobody had any. The only one that provided details was Michael Irvin himself. And what he said was it was a 45-second conversation. We shook hands, and that was it. I didn't know this woman. I didn't know this girl. It was a quick conversation. Hell, I don't remember what it was about.
But here's what's weird to me about it, Jay. They remove him from Super Bowl coverage.
Yeah.
The Arizona police had no knowledge of any incident. So
it's just this woman making a complaint.
Yeah, so this woman.
For no reason. Baseless. I think it was kind of interesting. I thought was interesting was Michael Irvin did say it was not anything sexually done. Like it was no sexual wrongdoing. I think that's how he said there was no sexual wrongdoing.
He said it was like a 30 or 45 second conversation.
What are you going to do possibly in a 30 or 45? Unless she's trying to say, well, you know, he came and he put his hand where he shouldn't have put his hand in that conversation. But I don't think that would happen.
You would think that she would. I just think it seems kind of weird. They just all of a sudden pulled him off there and there's not much information coming out.
Yeah, because you would think if it was something sexually in nature, the first thing she would be doing is going to the police and making a report. Because any lawsuit, they're going to require a police report so there's a legal documentation of the facts. So I don't believe what she's saying. I think it's a bunch of horseshit.
Who does she go complain to? NFL? Somebody from the NFL?
Probably. Probably like an NFL HR person. And then they probably passed it up. I thought it was interesting because they said that he was not taken off any of the programs leading up to the Super Bowl. Like all of his on-air appearances and things like that on other ESPN shows, They're still going as like business as usual. The only thing he got pulled from was the Super Bowl coverage. That's it.
Yeah, I don't like a whole lot.
And that does not make sense at all.
And don't get me wrong. If he done something that deserves it, okay. I just, with the information that came out, it seems kind of strange to me.
Trust me, there's going to be more to come out on this. This is just a tip. There'll be more to come out. I personally don't think it's going to be anything. Let me ask you this, Jay.
Do you think there's more to it and the NFL is just keeping it quiet until after the Possibly. Super Bowl?
Possibly. Yeah, well, let's be honest.
They came up with this little bullshit story until after the Super Bowl, so it's not putting a cloud over the game.
And it's not even a bullshit. I mean, it's not even their bullshit story. This is just what Michael Irvin is saying. This is him coming out and saying, hey, look, this is what happened. So something did happen. Did anything criminal or wrong happen? Who knows? I mean, it's her word against his. But again, we don't even really truly know what her word is because nobody's releasing anything. It's just strictly Michael Irvin saying, look, I had a conversation in a hotel lobby. It was my hotel lobby, but it was a conversation in a hotel lobby. I shook her hand, said a couple of nice words to her. And, you know, that was it. So I don't know what you draw from that.
What's weird to me is you just pull them off this stuff with no investigation or no.
Right.
You know what I mean, it's, I don't know.
Because by that logic, I could just call any time I wanted and just make reports randomly. That's what it sounds like to me. If there's no police report, nothing like that, and they're pulling them off the air strictly on her word alone, well, what's to stop anybody else from doing anything like that?
Yeah, it just seems weird. I'm sure there's more to it that we don't know. But just to me, it seemed, when I was reading about it, I was like, man, this seems strange.
Well, there's a lot of things that are strange, right? Number one, it's strange that they're not releasing any information. Number two, it's strange that he got pulled off of Super Bowl coverage, but yet he's still making appearances on all the other ESPN stuff. So there's a lot of things that are strange, right? None of it makes sense. None of it. And that's why I don't know. ESPN's got a lot of explaining to do. If I was Michael Irvin, I'd be asking for it. If I was Michael Irvin, I'd be talking to my lawyer, being like, hey, or my agent or whatever, and being like, hey, is there something we can do about this? Because this is hurting my credibility.
Derek Carr met with the New Orleans Saints today. His old coach, Dennis Allen, was his coach with the Raiders. I'll tell you what, if Carr does go to the Saints, I think that makes them a playoff team. I really do. They got a pretty good defense. You might lose Michael Thomas, but you still have Kamara.
They got Kamara, Olave, and Landry.
But the other thing is that division is terrible. They would have the best quarterback in that division.
I think you make the playoffs. I don't think you go too far until they get some more upgraded pieces. And they may even address that in the draft. You know, I mean, I think the Kamara thing's a little bit of an issue, but he's only out. He's not even out the whole year. He's only out like what, 4 or 5, maybe 6 games at most. If that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what.
I'm not really sure exactly how long he's out for, but I think they get Kamara back at some point the upcoming season. So I think I think who's their backup? Was it Ingram?
I think so. And they have a pretty good defense still. So I mean,
well, yeah, they have a good defense. I think one of their edge rushers though, I think is a free agent that I don't know whether he's signed yet or not. No, I have not heard anything concerning changes to college. Gonzo, have you heard anything about possible changes coming to college football? The only thing I've heard of is just the switching of teams from conferences. But is there something going on other than that?
Other than the expansion in 2020, not this season, but next season, they're going to expand the playoffs. Other than that, I haven't heard anything. The Commanders say that Howell is going to start the season off season as their QB1.
Wow. Well, I mean, if that's what they want to do.
I'm surprised they're not in the mix for a Derek Carr.
You never know though. If he doesn't get traded by the 15th, well, and again, if he may accept the Raiders or the Saints, if he doesn't accept the Saints position, he could get released, and maybe they're waiting for that.
But if I'm
Carr, to see if that happens,
if I'm Carr, I wouldn't change my contract. I'd let him release me and then be a free agent and go wherever you want to go.
Well, that's the thing though, too. And do you accept if New Orleans offers you the job, do you allow it to trade, or are you just going to let it play out and then see if other suitors come knocking?
Like, if I'm the Commanders, I'd be trying to get Carr. I mean,
well, me too.
You have McLaurin on it. You have weapons. You have McLaurin on as a receiver. You have some weapons. You have a decent defense. You haven't.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. Hey, if I was Washington, I'd be trying to make trades for Hop and Carr. Because if you had Hop, McLaurin, Carr, and then you got Gibson and your back foot, and you got Logan Thomas as your tight end, I don't know about you, man, but that's starting to look kind of promising.
Yeah. So I was hoping the Colts would maybe go after him, but I don't. Unless he waits out until the 15th and gets released, I don't see the Colts being in on it because of they don't even have a head coach right now. They're still messing around with that, and I don't think we'll hear anything until after the Super Bowl. I mean, hell,
they haven't had a head coach since they let go of Reich. They've had an offensive lineman. Hey. Hey, but you know what? And I'm just teasing you. But you know what's funny is Chris McCaffrey came out and said, look, and he had a good point, man. He's like, we haven't had a quarter. He felt like the Super Bowl was, or the NFC was stolen from him because they weren't allowed to carry enough quarterbacks. And I get that because, you know, I went back and looked at that. And from 1991 to 2010, they allowed you to carry an extra quarterback on your roster and not have it count against your roster limit. And then in 2011, they did away with that, and they said you can no longer carry that third quarterback unless you wanted to incorporate him in your 45. Well, now 46.
Well, here's my thing. Roster. My thing is, why in the playoffs do they cut you down to 46 when you can have 50, I think it's in that 53 in the regular season?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why that is. Honestly,
why not just leave it at 53, and then teams could have another quarterback if they wanted.
Right. Oh, I agree. And I think that's what Christian is saying. He's like, why did y'all do away with that rule?
And I'm not trying to take nothing away from the Eagles, but Purdy getting hurt in that first quarter of that game changed that game.
Oh, it changed the whole game. The whole game, because
I can't sit here and say the 49ers would have won, but I think it was going to be a hell of a lot closer game than what it was. And I think the 49ers would have had a chance.
You know, hey, when that second half
I had the 49ers around, winning that game going into it. So,
well, we both did.
And I can't sit here and say, oh, if he wouldn't have got hurt, they would have won. But I do think it would have been a different game, a whole different game.
Well, let's put it this way. We wouldn't know what that outcome is unless it got played out. And unfortunately, when you're doing two quarters of football with only a running back and that's it, I mean, what do you expect? Well,
basically three quarters, Jay. I mean,
well, yeah, the three, because Johnson took it out midway or early in that first part of the second.
I mean, nothing against you. I'm not trying to hate on Johnson, but we were really going to consider.
No, you can hang on Josh Johnson. The guy came out with two gloves on his hands.
Are we really going to consider him a quarterback that time he played?
I heard Josh Johnson went up to coach because they told him he had to have two gloves on because he kept dropping the ball. And he said, Coach, you know this doesn't look natural, right? They're playing anyway.
Dustin says, NCAA is considering combining the FCS and FBS and eliminating conferences in favor of regional groupings to allow teams to play who they want when they want.
Wow. I don't like that at all. I mean, I like it to some extent. I think part of it I like, but I don't like the fact that they can just pick and choose who they want to play, because then you can customize your schedule or you can customize, you know, your rankings based off strength of schedule. Some teams may want to take easier routes. Maybe some teams try to take the harder. I don't know. That's just a little too weird. I think it still needs to be, because
I don't know, because even the way it is now with conferences, you still have some teams that play. I mean, you have teams that play tougher schedules than other teams because some conferences are tougher than others. I mean, like the Big Ten and the SEC are the best conferences in football. You go to what? Say you go to basketball. Big Ten's one of the better conferences, but then, you know what I mean? You
Yeah. Look at Notre Dame when Notre Dame wasn't even in a conference. I mean, they kind of pick and chose who they wanted to play, right?
Yeah, but they usually played a pretty good schedule.
Well, yeah, they have. I mean, let's be honest. If you want to be in the rankings, you do have to have qualified teams or ranked teams in there.
My question is, why would they have to combine the FCS and FBS? Why would they have to bring the smaller schools? Why couldn't they just do that with the FBS?
Yeah, that's kind of what I don't understand either. I mean, truthfully, I think whoever makes these schedules or whoever says what teams are going to play what teams, you know what I'm saying? They should definitely put ranked teams in all of those different categories so that way it balances out the schedules or strength of schedules.
Every team should just start playing like 120 games and you play every school one time in the season.
Say that. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is
you're not. I was just joking. I was just saying that, like, hey, let's do it. Like, hey, that's what baseball's getting ready to do. They're getting ready to play everybody. But they're also there's also not 100 something baseball teams like there is colleges either. I'm not totally against it. I just don't know about – I mean, don't get me wrong. There's probably a few teams in the FCS that could compete with some of the FBS teams. But how many teams in the FCS can really compete at the top level with the top FBS teams?
Not many at all. They don't get the recruiting and things of that nature, or even probably the training, at that lower level.
But if you combine them, would that help? Would that help them FCS schools be able to get more of the better players?
Well, yeah, I think it would. Because now you can go into the living rooms and say, "Hey, look, we are playing great teams. We're not just playing, pushover whatever teams. We're going to play, the Alabamas. We're going to play the Tennessees, Arkansas's, A&M's, whatever, So it could be a recruiting tool used by the smaller schools, especially with NIL and transfer portal, to get where they got to go.
There's a few. There are quite a few that can compete at the FBS. Okay. At the highest level, like how many teams in the FCS could compete with, like, the four teams?
Careful, Gonzo. This is stat guy. Gonzo, careful. This is stat guy.
No.
There's a few people I question. I don't question the Whopper computer.
No, I'm not questioning them. I'm just asking a question. Like, he says there's quite a few, but how many of them could compete with, like, the Georgias? With the top schools. I'm not saying – believe me, I watched some of it. There's teams in
North Dakota.
There's teams in the FCS that could definitely compete. I just don't know about competing at that top level how many could. There's some, like, North Dakota State was good. They were good. They were real good this year.
What's a big famous quarterback that came out of North Dakota? We talked about it earlier. Who's it that came out of North Dakota State? It was Dustin would tell me. Dustin, what's the pro quarterback that came out of North Dakota? I know me and Dustin were talking about it on one of the shows. It'll come back to me in a minute. But I need to get more into college. I don't play enough with college football. Unless it's Texas or whoever.
Unless it's Texas. Carson Wentz played for North Dakota State.
There you go. Thank you, Carson. I knew it was one of those. My memory gets worse and worse. Trey Lance, that's the one.
Yeah.
Remember, because he went number three.
I couldn't think of Trey Lance. My new Carson Wentz.
See, that's what I'm telling you, man. I don't mess with Dustin and them stats, man. Look, this dude's walking encyclopedia.
No, I agree. I agree with what Dustin's saying here. Is that I'm not saying competing at Alabama level, but they're at least 30 teams that could compete to be in the top 25.
Are they really top 25, though, Dustin, if they don't play the better competition? Like, how do you judge who's going to be top 25 if I'm playing North Dakota freaking State? Come on, man. Do better. I don't believe that. I don't think – I just don't know. Gonzo, I think you water down some of the top 25 if that's the case. Because typically the top 25 are playing those types of schedules.
I mean, it just depends on – just depends on the scheduling. But it's not going to be – but, I mean, they – A lot of them teams
saying, SMU's going to make it up in there. No, they're not.
A lot of them teams are going to try to play tough schedules, though, so they can try to get in.
No, that's play. True. That's true. But I don't think it happens. Yeah, I mean, that's true. And in all honesty, too, is if your team is really bad, I mean, if you do play some, but it would have to be ranked teams. So if you're going to tell me the smaller schools have got a shot to get the top 25, basically doing that, choosing their own schedule and whatever. Well, if they want to be top 25 considerable, they're going to have like everybody else, you know, a mixture of some ranked teams and some really good teams.
Well, yeah, all the schools would have – they're going to – it's kind of be like college basketball in a way where you got to put together a good schedule because, I mean, they're still going – you're still going to have a committee getting to the top – getting it down to the final 12 or whatever. So you're still going to have to try to make your strength of schedule as good as you can or you're not even going to have a chance to get up there.
And I think now they're expanded to what 12, I think, supposedly on the playoffs. It's going to give a lot of those smaller schools and more of an opportunity to compete for the national title. What a time to be alive. He says, we need to see the FCS more. Yeah, I don't watch hardly any FCS at all. So I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I watch some.
But let me ask you this. Okay, so you're talking about the James Madisons. Now, again, to Gonzo's credit, you know, once they open it up and they start playing the bigger schools, these schools will get better talent. But if you took the current James Madison team and put them up against Texas or put them up against, you know, Alabama or whatever, these dudes are going to get crushed. Or even Oregon. If you want to go to the lower schools, Oregon, Utah.
But this is something that I think kind of what I said earlier is if you move that, if you combine them, the recruiting will drastically change and their level.
And it would. And exactly. Level, I agree with
teams
you.
Teams would get better because now you have the NIL and you can tell these guys, hey, we can compete with the big schools. You'll be on TV, get more exposure.
And I think the transfer portal and the NIL does make it easier for, you know, these guys that are sitting at the number two spot, let's say as a quarterback, they can go to the smaller schools, get that same coverage and same, you know, out there, put yourself out there where they wouldn't get that same opportunity.
Well, look at TCU. They were what, like 2-12 last year or something?
Yeah.
And then this year they're
TCU's been in the top. They've been in the top rankings before, though.
I'm just saying. Last year they were terrible.
They were horrible.
They went through the transfer portal, got some players, got a new coach, and look how quick of a turnaround they were able to make.
Man, I'm telling you, that dude from TCU, that head coach from TCU, if there was a coach of the year, I'd give it to his ass. Like you said, just based on what they did last year and how bad they were last year and where they are this year in the national title game.
But with the NIL and the transfer portal, it's a lot easier to do that now because you don't got all these 4 or 5-star recruits.
Well, that's because now you got free agency in college.
Yeah, you're not going to have 4 or 5-star. You're not going to have 5 4-star quarterbacks on Alabama's roster.
Think about it. You don't even have to worry about getting the best draft class as long as you get a good transfer portal that comes in. Like you said, TCU is probably the best example of that. If you go around to all these schools that had these 5-star or 4-star, you know, number two guys, you can pick those guys off right and left and form up your own squad.
Well, not even number two guys. Look at Alabama. They had what? They had Jalen Hurts, Tua, and Bryce Young all pretty much around the same time.
Yeah. Oh, you could pick that team apart. Had some good players. And, you know, and the thing about it is this year, Georgia was the same way. Georgia's been pretty deep at their positions. And several other ones as well. So, yeah, man. And I think that's what Colorado's going to do with Deion. I think Deion, he already kind of has been hitting the transfer portal to build up that team.
Oh, yeah. I expect Colorado to be a lot more competitive this year than they were last year.
Colorado, if Deion stays there and continues to recruit and do what Deion does, I expect them to get in the top 10 fairly soon.
The more I think about it, I think it would be interesting. I think it would be something. I don't know. It'd be something to research a little more. But I think it could be. It'd be interesting because
Colorado,
like Dustin's saying, is that, I mean, because then some of these schools would be able to maybe get some recruits that instead of going to Alabama, they go to Jackson State, or instead of going to, you know what I mean? You might be able to get some of these recruits.
Kennesaw State is not going to pull from Georgia. I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't going to happen. I mean, I'm not. If you get anybody from Georgia, it's definitely going to be some low round or lower start or lower ranked players. I'm just telling you. Look, I live out here in Georgia. These athletes, these students and everything, man, they bleed that Georgia like you wouldn't believe. I said Georgia sucked one time around a campus one time. They almost had a riot. This is kind of ridiculous.
I had a question for you, Jay. We hadn't got to it yet. Before we get out of here, damn, it's already 12:30. Before we get out of here, because I got to get up early tomorrow. I got to be up at 5 in the morning.
That's okay. I got to be at Mel. Oh, get this. I'm doing a book fair at Melanie's Elementary School in the library with little first graders pulling on my beard, saying, "Mr. J, Mr. J," and I'm like,
I thought you were going a different direction with that.
Oh no, no, Gonzo, come on, crazy, I'm not stupid. But no, for real, so I got to get up early too. Like she said, we got to be there at like 6:30. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, my son has to be at work at 6 in the morning. So I got to pick him up at 5:30 in the morning.
I mean, I get that, Dustin, what you're saying. I mean, they will get some Georgia players. I just don't think they're going to get too many.
But this would be a good one for you because I know you're one of the guys that stand on the player, Major League Baseball players that done steroids, that the record, like, because aren't you one of the guys you think Judge is the home run king, right?
I think, yeah, because he hasn't done roids and he did it clean. Okay.
Well, let me ask you this question. Why do we crucify baseball players so much for steroids and performance enhancing drugs? But if it happens in like the NFL, or the NBA, the guys might get suspended for like 4 games, but you don't hear nothing else about it. You don't hear nothing about it. But in baseball, we crucify the guys for it.
Right. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I guess that's a good question, man. Honestly, I don't know who specifically is doing roids in football. I think steroids. Well, look at
this. Like DeAndre Hopkins, are more prevalent in football, but DeAndre Hopkins got suspended for performance enhancing drugs for 6 games this season.
Right. You don't hear a lot of people
crucifying him. Hell, we're all talking about all these teams should be going after him this year.
Yeah.
But in baseball, I agree. In baseball, all these guys shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, or the records shouldn't count. Why one standard for one sport and a totally different for the other sport? You know what I mean?
It's a good question. And I think it's just, I never really thought about it like that. I think maybe it's just because we've talked about it so much in baseball. It's just been talked about and brought up so much in baseball. I think that's just kind of where we generally focus on. Like, we don't really talk about the Football Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame as much. But the point you're making is a fair and valid point. And I tell you, man, my point on steroid use in the Hall of Fame is not going to change from sport to sport. If you tell me that DeAndre Hopkins went out there and got the single season record and took it away from I think Megatron is, I don't think Cup quite broke it, so I think it's still Megatron's record. And you said he went out there, you know, and he got that record, I would be saying, hey, you might have to put an asterisk next to that, because I still. If Megatron did it clean and you didn't, then it's still kind of his record, because you aren't on the same playing field. You're still on different playing fields. But so my stance on the whole steroid thing is it's the same across the board. It's just we don't talk about. I got to be honest with you. I'm guilty of that. I've never really focused on the other sports because All we really have ever talked about is baseball. So that is something that we should start talking about and shifting over.
And the only reason because I was thinking about this last night when I couldn't sleep. I don't know why I was thinking about this that's my brain. But anyway, and I think one of the reasons is because baseball was the first sport where Congress got involved and it was made a big deal nationally all over, everywhere. So right. I think even people that wasn't really even sports fan, a baseball fan, heard about it, knew about it because it became national news because of Congress. where when it, with like an NFL, only people that really knew about DeAndre Hopkins are people that follow the NFL. You know what I mean? I don't think it didn't get out like nationally to everybody like the baseball stuff did. That's the only thing, only reason I could really come up with.
Right. Yeah, man. I'm right there with you. Like I said, I have not put no. I really, you know, now that you bring that up, that is something we should start talking about. You know, I mean, because if there's ever steroid usage, you know damn good well they're using that shit in football. You can't tell me these athletes, you know, and the way and how big they're getting, strong they're getting, things like that from where they used to be. Look, these guys are bigger, Konso, and you know that. By the way, I read that comment. Let me tell you something. The only thing, Dustin, I know about Valdosta is they have a really crazy prison up there that I worked in. And those dudes, and it's like a high-level max security prison. And I'm telling you, Gonzo.
You worked in a prison?
Yeah, I used to be a prison. I was a prison guard for like about 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
I worked in a prison for about a year.
Yeah, apparently, though, Gonzo, it has been said, if not brought to my attention, that you cannot throw the tables over the railing from the top tier to the bottom tier. Apparently, that is frowned upon. I've been talking to and counseled on not throwing tables over the guard. Oh, no, dude. Hey, look, but that's how I put the fear in them, dude. Hey, they did not mess with me, Gonzo. I didn't give a damn. Hey, I throw chairs. I throw tables.
I had one guy try to mess with me. Thought he was going to punk me in front of everybody. Well, you see me. I'm not a big dude.
Nah,
dude, and he wanted to see his commissary list, see what he had.
Yeah,
and I said not. Yeah. So no, we're not doing that. And once I get everybody, we get everybody back in their pods, we'll do that. But we had got orders from our sergeant that we weren't supposed to give that out that night. Well, yeah, he said I'm gonna come up because I was up like on a platform at my desk. He said, "Well, I'm gonna come up there and grab it." I straight told him, I said, "You step a foot on that stairs, I'm gonna knock your ass out." And all them guys. then after that, oh, when I stood up to him, no, you know, I mean, then nobody else bothered me because they learned they saw. Oh well, he might be small, but he's not a pushover.
Right. Dude, yeah. You know. Hey,
come on up here. I'm gonna have a fucking fireman's carry on your ass.
Hey, listen, like my old lieutenant said, Jay, whatever you do, just don't do it where cameras are.
And most of the guys here's what was funny, Jay. My first day, because I had to go through the training. Well, my first day at the actual prison, we go in there for lunch. I walk in the cafeteria, and there's a whole table of guys that I knew that went to the same high school as me. We walk in, they're all like, "What's up, Gonzo?" And all the other correctional officers are kind of looking at me. I'm like, fuck, I went to school with him. Hell, the one guy came up to me, asked me how my mom and dad was doing.
Yeah, that's the first question they ask on the questionnaire is, do you know anybody that's incarcerated or in a jail? That's the first question they ask. And you're like, and you probably don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. But I'll tell you this. I remember one time when I was doing a count. Golly, man. I was going from door to door counting and then I got to the one that had the dark light on and it was halfway cracked and I pulled it over to count in there and I seen what I said. I said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm going to need you to kindly step away from that gentleman, put your clothes back on and come out here for count, please." I'm like, "Hey, do what you do, boo-boo, because I know both of you are serving life sentences, so hey."
Well, they knew the nights I worked. Hey, if you left me alone and you didn't cause me trouble, I didn't bother you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. Jeez, Louise, man. If I told you everything I did in prison, man, I'd probably be in prison myself.
I don't know how we got on prison talk, but anyway, Dustin says Kennesaw averaged 48.7 points per game and Valdosta 51.4.
Yeah, I just, you know, Kennesaw, Valdosta, I mean, these aren't schools there. I will tell you, hey, there is one school out in Tennessee. It's over there by Fort Campbell, Austin Peay. I don't know if you've ever heard of Austin Peay.
Yeah,
Austin. Yeah. And that's a small school, though. It's not a big school. And they actually play Alabama and a couple other schools. So, I mean, Yeah, I mean, you just don't see it very often, but yeah, they do play them. Crazy.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to some final thoughts here.
Yeah, you know, my final thoughts are, man, tomorrow morning at that little elementary school is going to be interesting. He said, I will be honest with you, outside of the Badgers, I watch more FCS than FBS. You know, I believe that because, Dustin, you do, man. You watch a lot of that crazy stuff, man. And But you're a stat guy. I would expect you to watch that stuff that week because that's how you get all them stats.
Hey, we're only like 9 days away from the XFL.
Oh, nine days. Jeez Louise, man, it's getting up on us quick. No, final thoughts are, man. Hey, seriously, back to final thoughts.
We're only about 5 days before pitchers and catchers report.
Are you a pitcher or a catcher?
I'd be a pitcher.
Yeah, when I was doing the count, that's what he said too. And then the other one, and then everyone from the inside was, not tonight, he wasn't.
I can't even read why he. Oh.
And then I asked him, I said, do you have a wicked curveball? And he just looked at me.
He said, Austin P., great team. Bailey Zappi started his career there.
That's why he's Bailey Zappi. No, for real though. Hey, listen, man. Look, we've had some good sports lately. I mean, honestly, we've had some really good sports, and I have a feeling that we have more good sports to come in the next few months. Honestly, with March Madness, XFL, baseball. I mean, we're gonna ramp back up. We kind of got in a lull, but now we're gonna ramp back up. We haven't got the Super Bowl yet, so that's gonna be crazy this weekend. So
you have the USFL. I didn't watch much of it last year, but
don't even forget Gonzo. We still got Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania. I mean, there's all kinds of. It just seems like every time you turn around, there's something, which is great. I mean, it's great.
There's also a big UFC this Saturday.
You're right. There is a big UFC. Oh, and then you got World Baseball Classic. I mean, come on, man. It just goes on and on, man. So all I'm saying is, man, there's going to be a lot of good stuff going on, guys. And I promise you, man, we will be reporting.
Real quick, Jay, what do you think about Lakers getting D'Angelo Russell, Beasley, and Vanderbilt? Do you think that's going? Is that going to propel them to be more than a play-in team?
No, I still think they're going to be play-in. I don't think they're.
I think at the best to play in.
How many more weeks we got left before the play-in, Gonzo? I mean, how many games we got?
I don't know. Roughly.
Like how many games you think?
We're probably we're about halfway through the season, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, because we haven't even played the All-Star game yet.
We're going to play the All-Star game, so we're about halfway through.
I'm sorry, but my mind is just – it's like almost 1 o'clock in the morning, so my mind kind of goes left. No, absolutely. Can they make the play-in? Absolutely. Yeah. Because I think number one – you got Westbrook off your team, so now you got that. That's done and over with.
Westbrook wasn't playing bad this year.
No, he wasn't, but he was still.
He takes the ball.
Sometimes you need a change of culture. Sometimes you just need a change of culture. They need a change of culture. They need new blood in there. And I do think that D'Angelo Russell, we know Jared Vanderbilt has done well with the T-Wolves. Malik Beasley, I'd have to go back and really look at his stuff. To see how well he's playing. I know he's been playing pretty decently over there with Utah, so we'll have to see. But
he's gonna be playing with his stepson, Scottie Pippen.
Hey, listen, if there's some fights on the sidelines, I'm just saying it could make for good basketball. So 34 games. Yeah, they got more than enough time to come back and get back into playing. The thing is you gotta figure it's gonna take them a week or two to really gel, get their rotations right, get their chemistry right. But if the only thing that's going to keep the Lakers from not making the playoff or not making the play-in is if Bron or AD goes back on the injury list. That's the only thing. But they've got to start developing that chemistry now, honestly. But play-in, yeah, the play-in, I'm not going to say they're 100% a lock, but I would say at least 60 or 75% that they would be in the play-in. And that's about as far as I go with that. Hey, real quick, I know we're getting out of here. Guys, catch us on Unscripted. It'll be on, tomorrow. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a lot of fun, lots to talk about. More on expansion of what we talked about even tonight, really. So it's going to be a good time. Gonzo will be there. Logan will be there. Maybe Frankie will show up. You never know. But if not, catch us on Twitter at Unscripted Guys, all one word, and TikTok, Unscripted Sports.
Vanderbilt beat Tennessee tonight. Damn. Tennessee's ranked sixth in the country in basketball and lost to Vanderbilt.
Oh, I saw that. You know who's ranked number two? Houston. Hey, we're not knocking on the door, Gonzo. We're knocking on the door at number one. I really don't care if we get number one, honestly. As long as we got a decent ranking or a decent seeding going into March Madness.
IU got a good win, another good win last night against Rutgers. That was another Big Ten win for us.
Yeah. Because let me ask you this. Whether you're ranked number one or number two, it really has no bearing once you get into March Madness.
Well, anyway, when you get to March Madness, if you're number two, you're probably going to get – if you're number two in the country, you're probably going to get number one – one of the four number one seeds in the March Madness tournament.
So, that's what I'm saying. So, you're going to have a tougher schedule is what that means.
No, you're not really going to have a tougher schedule. Because they – in the March Madness, they split it up into the four regions.
There's a number one seed in region and play the other region after that, after you beat that region.
There's a number one seed in each region. So, like, say if Houston finishes at two, they're going to end up as number one seed in one of those regions.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
There's four number one seeds. There's a number one overall seed, but there's four number one seeds total. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I got what you're saying. It's going to be, I can't wait, man. I am definitely excited to see how well. Houston does. We all know, like you said, Purdue's got that big 7-footer. It's just enormous. So it's going to be interesting to see how far Purdue goes, how far Houston goes. And I'm really kind of curious to see where Texas winds up in all this. I mean, they're number five.
I'm curious to see where my Hoosiers wind up at. We got a pretty good team.
Oh, I know where the Hoosiers are winding up. Yeah, I know where the Hoosiers are.
Right now we're projected to be a four or five seed in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, that's not what I heard. You know what I heard they were projected to go?
I hope we play Houston and we beat you guys.
Hey, look, I'm just saying that to say this. You know you podcasted long enough with somebody when they know your ins and outs and your jokes. So, all that does is mean that, hey, Gonzo, that you know me pretty well. You know, if you had Hooters and a hoo-hoo, we might be able to talk sometime. But anyway, but you had to get a shake. I don't think guys with beards. But
I just saw that Purdy is going to have surgery. Brock Purdy having surgery February 22nd. Yeah. And they expect him to return in the first few weeks of the office of the
– Damn it. Of training camp?
Yeah, of training camp.
Wow. So that's not Tommy. Is that Tommy John that he's going? That's not Tommy John then. Yeah. So he must not be requiring Tommy John surgery. We need some back. Get some back. So, wow. Well, yeah. Hey, lucky for them. But I tell you, man, they're going to have – I'm still curious to see where Trey Lance goes. I want to see where if he stays or if Garoppolo or if he's – You know, you got to know. I believe John Johnson has to know that.
From all the reports I've seen, Garoppolo's gone.
But I wonder where.
He's going to be a free agent, so we'll see.
I wonder when and I wonder where. It'll be interesting to see that for sure, though.
Yeah. My final thoughts are – Number one, thanks for everybody joining us and everybody in the comment section tonight. We appreciate it. Also, if you missed our interview with Dutch Boy Platinum earlier this evening, go check it out. It was a great conversation. I know Jay was on there for a while. Stat Guy was on there a little bit as well. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And also, today's what? Wednesday, right?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Let's see. 1 o'clock, we got the ASAP Afternoon Blitz. 3 o'clock, Easy Money, a sports betting show. Like Jay said, 7 o'clock, Unscripted. And then Saturday, not sure. I'll be posting the time here on my social media pages at Gonzo Sports Room. But going to do a UFC watch party and live reaction, UFC watch along. I'm going to say we'll probably start around 8. We'll probably go ahead and do the prelims too, and then do the main card at 10. But I got to check times and all that, and then get everything scheduled. But we'll be doing that Saturday night. Sunday, got the Super Bowl. Monday, we're bringing back. Monday, we're relaunching GWR weekly show. When we first started it, we done GWR. We'd do a podcast. We'd record it, and then I would drop it every Sunday morning. Well, with doing all the live shows, wrestling shows, and then the sports shows, we kind of got away from that. But what we're going to bring it back. But what we're going to do, we're going to do a live show every Monday at 6:30 p.m. This Monday, we're going to talk Dusty Rhodes and some other old school wrestling. And then we'll also talk a little bit about what's going on in like today's WWE as well. But we got a couple people that's going to come in and join us sometime. So it should be a good show. Starting that back up Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Join us for that. Then Tuesday, 5 o'clock, pro wrestler Damian Michael Cole will be joining us. He's been in the business for, I want to say like 15 years. He runs a promotion. He also has a wrestling school where he trains guys. So we're going to talk a little bit of all that. And then for GSR next week, we will be live Monday night at 11. That might be our only show next week. Cause I have a surgery on Wednesday morning. So I would say we're not going to do a show Wednesday night at 11. Don't know about Friday. We'll see how I'm feeling on Friday. If everything goes good and I'm feeling all right, we'll do a show Friday night, but definitely won't have a show Wednesday night next week. And then we might not even have one on Friday. I might just take it off till the next Monday.
A real podcaster would probably do this show. I'm just saying, a real podcaster. But I'm just me.
I'll lay over there in the bed with a microphone and do it.
Look, these millennial podcasters. listen. If I could put my show on stop cam and put the cam on the sink and take a poo.
Like I said, we'll see how I am after I do this surgery, how much I can move. Main thing is if I can sit, is just sitting up, if how much that bothers me. But we'll figure it out. Other than that, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube, like and follow Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, all at Gonzo Sports Room and at the All Sports All Plays Network. Also at Unscripted. Twitter is Unscripted Guys, but everything else is Unscripted, right?
Yeah.
But we appreciate everybody joining us. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Like I said, at 1 p.m. Eastern, 3 and 7. And once I can find this video, we'll be out of here. Got like 8,000 videos out here. We'll see you guys next time. Like I said, we'll be back Friday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, with another episode of Gonzo Sports Room. Hope everybody has a great night.